chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7. And we're going to begin this morning in verse number 14 and read down through the end of this particular chapter. This chapter, in chapter 7, of course, all of the book of Romans is just, it's an astoundingly deep book. Paul has so much doctrine in this book for us, has so much in there, especially concerning our salvation and what our Lord has fully worked for us and how He brings it to pass in us. And not only how He brings it to pass in us, but then how it affects us afterward and how we live in that salvation that He has given to us. In chapter 5, He describes for us that wondrous work that God has accomplished for us, that because of sin, death has passed upon us all, but God has commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In chapter 6, He describes the depth of that sin and how that sin is such a destructive force, but because of the salvation we have in Christ, we are freed from that. And then He comes into chapter number 7. And as he's showing these two together, this reality that we are freed from sin, but then on the other side of that, the fact that we are saved in Christ Jesus, freed from the curse of sin and the law, but at the same time struggling with this sin that is a part of our old nature that He's talking about here in chapter number 7, He gives us here in this passage, chapter 6, verse 23 to you, as he shows those two realities here. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, in that life that is given us by Christ, Paul tells us here in chapter 7 of a warfare now that is going on in the child of God. I was reading this week a story about a preacher that was preaching, and he's talking about the great weight of sin and how the sinners are burdened with that sin, that great weight of sin that was on them. And afterwards, a young fellow that, I don't know if you want to call him a smart aleck or not, but he come to the preacher and he said, "Just how heavy is that sin, preacher? Is it 5 pounds? Is it 10 pounds? Is it 20 pounds? Is it 100 pounds? How heavy is that sin? Because I don't feel nothing. I don't feel no weight." And the preacher retorted back. He says, "If you have a corpse and you lay 100 pound weight on that corpse, how heavy does it feel to that corpse?" And he said, "Well, nothing. He's dead." And the preacher said, "That's your problem. The reason you can't feel the weight of that sin is because you're dead in trespasses and sin." And so what Paul tells us here in chapter number 7, what he is describing for us in this passage here, is that because of that understanding that now has been brought into the heart of the child of God, there's now a warfare, there's now a struggle that is going on inside of us against the very sin that is a part of us. And it's because of that struggle, praise God for this, it's because of that struggle that we know we belong to Him. Because now there's that fight in us against that sin that we see in ourselves. Paul begins here in this passage. Notice with me verse 14. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue on in our study. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Father, for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you allowed us this another day that we could come into your house to learn of you. We pray that you'd open your scriptures before us today. Help me, Father, to faithfully proclaim them before your people this morning. And Father, we're just so thankful for each one that was able to come this way, able to come out and take part in services today. Help us, Father, that as we meet together today, we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, help us to recognize your presence with us. Help us, Father, to cling fast to you, for we know that without you we can do nothing, that we need you for everything. And so, Father, we pray that you show your strength in us this day, that we might see your work in us, that we might rejoice in you, that we might be able again to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, bless each soul that's come this way. If there be any lost, Father, we pray that you'd draw them unto yourself, that you'd cause them even this very hour to see Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Father, speak to their hearts. Draw them unto yourself. Father, if there be those many, Father, that are sick and afflicted, those that we have on our prayer list, those, Father, that are in our hearts and minds this day, we just pray that you be with each one and give them that they have need of this day. Healing, Father, there's so many that are in need of your physical touch, and we just pray, Father, that you'd touch their bodies, that you'd heal them, that you'd give them, Father, what they have need of this day. Go with us now as we look to your word. Again, give us understanding of these things, an application for our own lives, that we might be found the faithful servants of Christ Jesus. Go with us as we look to your word now, for we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, there are those that argue that Paul is writing here from the perspective of a lost person, but that's not the case here. That's not what Paul is doing. Paul is talking about what happens to a child of God after receiving Christ Jesus, after receiving this salvation that can only come from him. He is declaring to us the problem that arises in us, because in Christ, in having salvation in Christ Jesus, we are given a new nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 declares to us that we are made a new creature. There's a new nature that is put in us. Now, the scriptures also tell us in 1 John that new nature that is put in us, that new man, as Paul would describe it, cannot sin. It is sealed. It is permanently sealed by the Lord Jesus Christ, that sin cannot enter into it. That is what's put in us in the new birth, in salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. But there's a problem that comes with that. And this is the problem that Paul's addressing here in our text. The problem that is still left with us, and that is our old nature. In that implanting of the new nature in us, the old nature is not taken away. It is not eradicated. It is still there. And as long as we are in this flesh, as long as we draw breath, as long as we are alive here on this earth, we continue to be in that old nature. And so now, because of salvation, there are two natures in us that are struggling against one another. You have the old nature that is a part of this flesh, and you have the new nature put in us by Christ. And now, because of that reality of those two natures, their oil and water, they do not mix. And so the fact that they do not mix creates now a struggle in us that Paul describes for us here in this passage. And more times than not, the reality is the old nature is very, very strong and will have place, very easily have place over that new nature in the fact of who is controlling what, you see. And this is what Paul addresses here in this passage because of this reality of these two natures. He says there in verse 14 again, "For we know that the law is spiritual." We know the law is spiritual. The law of God, as he says in verse number 12, is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. The law is spiritual. He says, but I'm carnal. Or I'm still a part of this flesh. I'm still residing in this thing. And so because of this, he says that sin is still there. I'm carnal, sold under sin. Physically speaking, he's talking about here. And so because of this, this struggle arises. This struggle is a reality in it. He says in verse 15, "For that which I do," this is this first "I do" here. He gives several "I do's" in this passage in verse 15. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." What's Paul talking about there? What's he saying there? "For that which I do," he says, "I allow not." He says what is the reality in his life is, the struggle that he is faced with each and every day is what his flesh is drawn to. It's not what he wants to do at all. It's not anything that he would allow in his spirit. It's not anything that he would allow, that he would want in his life. But he sees in himself, in that flesh, and he's drawn to that. That's what he's being pulled toward. He's being pulled toward sin. And yet, inwardly, he's recognized, that's not what I want. That's not what that needs to be in me. And so he says, that which is a part of the flesh, he said, I allow not. For what I would, that's what I want to do. That's what my desire is. That's what I want to see because of this inward working of Christ in me, to be faithful to his word, to be obedient to his word. That's what I would do. That's what I want, he says. That do I not. Paul's saying that's where I failed. What I want to do, what I want found in me, what is the desire of my heart in my service to the Lord, that's where I fail. That's the very things I don't do, he says. But rather, he says, what I hate, That do I. Very sins of the flesh, very things that disgust me, the very things about me that I hate, that's what I'm doing. That's where I'm at, he said. If then I do that which I would not, or that I don't want to have a part of, that which is not my desire, if I do those things, he says, I consent unto the law. But it is good. The law is good. It's right. It's holy. It's just. It declares me. It declares me to be a sinner before God. And he says, this I have to admit that I have to declare that, Paul says, because it's in my flesh, I can't keep it. That's what he will go on to say in chapter 8 here in the first part of chapter 8. That the law in its perfection is weak. It's weak. Not in what it is, but it's weak in the flesh. We can't keep the law of God in ourselves. We can't keep it in ourselves. And so he says, verse 17, Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin dwelleth in me. John Gill, he says it like this. This is to be understood, not of any notorious crime committed by him, and repeated again and again, nor of a sinful course of life. For Paul was not a profane man before conversion, but externally moral. And after his conversion had his conversation in the world by the grace of God in righteousness and holiness. A vicious course of life being contrary to the grace of God. So what does he mean here? He says, but of internal lust, working of corruptions in his heart, which are real actions of the mind with the various frailties and infirmities of life. Our hearts are wicked things. Amen. That's the reason the scripture reminds us. It's the reason the scripture tells us, do not follow your heart. Do not believe that thing. It is corrupt. It is absolutely wicked. Many times have you heard people say that in so many places of life? Oh, just follow your heart. That's the stupidest thing you can ever do. You cannot do that. It is wicked, desperately wicked. Who can know it? It is an awful thing to follow your heart. Follow Christ. Follow Christ. And so this is the problem, John Healy tells us. It's not so much the outward actions, although those are a part of it, it's not so much the outward actions that Paul is speaking of. He's talking here about the very lust that swell in his heart and his mind, that he struggles against each and every day, that rise in him as he seeks to follow the Lord and to do that which is right in the presence of God. And yet this constant dragging down of the flesh as it constantly is coming against us, trying to keep us from the service of the Lord. Paul says again, verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, somewhere I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. This speaks of those, of the two natures of the believer. Notice back here in John chapter 5, Brother Mark read this verse this morning in verse number 40. John chapter 5 and verse number 40. We read here of this nature of the flesh. Jesus describes it here as total inability. Total inability. When he says in verse number 39, he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Why? Because they're dead in trespasses and sins. They're dead. They are incapable. They are unable to do that. That nature of the flesh, that depraved sin nature, is total inability. It cannot please God. It cannot choose God. It cannot serve God. It cannot in any way please God. It is incapable. Total inability. That's that old nature. The new nature he describes in John chapter 6 and verse 44. He tells us how this comes about in us, how it is brought in us, how it is born in us. When he says, no man can come to me, which is what he described in John 5 and verse 40, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up at the last day. What's the difference between the old nature and the new nature? What is the power in those? It's Christ. It's Christ. He's the one that gives us that ability to believe and to follow and to serve. He's the one that gives us that understanding in that new birth, as he gives unto us that new nature that can only come by him. And so these two natures are a reality in the child of God. We receive the new nature in Christ, and only the new man recognizes the reality of sin in himself and the burden of that sin in himself, and realize this struggle that's there. The old nature never gets better. There's the mindset in a lot of people that they're going to keep working on themselves to be made better as they go along, so eventually they'll get to the place where they're acceptable before God. The old nature never gets better. It is dead from the beginning. It remains dead throughout your entire life. It never gets better. It never gets better. That old nature is always full of sin. Only that which we have in Christ, only that which we have in Christ makes us acceptable before the throne of God. Only that new nature that is given us by him makes us the children of the Most High God. There's a story about near Tarsus, where Paul was born and grew up. There was a particular tribe of people there, and this is believed to be what Paul is drawing from here in this particular passage, that when a murderer would kill and he was caught and convicted of that murder, his punishment would be they would take the corpse of the one he murdered and strap it to the murderer and turn him out. And they would bind him in such a way that he was not able to untie those binds. And so if you saw the fella wandering along, he would literally have a dead person tied to his back. Well, the rot from the dead person would eventually get into the living person, and that would be what would end up killing the murderer, is just carrying that dead corpse on his back. And this is kind of what Paul is talking about here. This is the reality for the child of God. We're carrying around a dead corpse. We're carrying around a dead, stinking corpse that we call flesh. that we look at every morning when we get up and in the mirror. Boy, don't that look good? A dead, rotting corpse that we are struggling against every single day. It does not get better. It gets worse. It's dead. It's dead. And so Paul makes that declaration here in this passage when he says there in verse, again in verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it. Not that new nature, not that new man put in me, but sin that dwelleth in me. In chapter 5 of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 17, he says it here, Galatians 5 and verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. It's a constant struggle, he said. We're constantly battling in ourselves. The old nature never gets better. To the unbeliever, the one without Christ, this idea, this concept is strange to him. Don't make sense to him because he doesn't feel the weight of it as you and I feel the weight of it. Oh, he might understand the concept of right and wrong. He might understand that, well, you know, yeah, I'm not supposed to do those things because it's not good, or I'm not supposed to do that because my parents will disapprove, or I'm not supposed to do that because the law will throw me in jail. He's got a concept of that right and wrong that's put in him by God. It's part of his conscience to know good and evil. But the difference between the lost man and the saved man is the lost man is constantly looking for excuse for why he's done this or why this is in his life. Yeah, I shouldn't be doing that, but everybody else does it. Yeah, I shouldn't be doing that, but you don't know what I've been through. Yeah, I that shouldn't be a part of my life, but. He's always offering excuses. He's always got a reason why that sin is there. And child of God, he knows what's there. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Verse 18. Paul says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how I perform that which is good, I find not. Paul's talking about the struggle that what I am by nature is evil. It's contrary to God. It's wicked. It's sinful before Him. If I had my way, if I had what my desire is, I'd never sin against God again. I'd be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. My will, my desire is to be found faithful to Him. But this flesh, this dead corpse that's on me is constantly dragging me away. It's constantly fighting against me. It's the reason that on Sunday morning I have to stretch and get out of bed and work again another Sunday. Why can't I just stay in bed like everybody else does? And so we It's a constant struggle against the flesh. A constant struggle. For, he says in verse 19, for the good that I would, that which I want to do, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. You imagine, child of God, can you imagine just for a moment what wondrous joy life would be if you just had control of your thoughts? Just control of your thoughts. Now, if I do, verse 20, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It goes back to kind of what Paul is saying there in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20 as he describes that difference there. He says, chapter 2, verse 20 of Galatians, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, not this flesh. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Any life that I have, he says, is that which comes from Christ. That which is given me by Him. Psalm chapter 32 and verse 1 and 2. Psalm 32 verses 1 and 2. Blessed is he. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, understand what we're reading here in this passage. As Paul says this here in chapter 7. I'm not saying I have no ability to do right. I'm not saying you have no ability to do right. You most assuredly can. That's what's given us in that new man, that new creature that's given us, that new spirit that is planted in us. We can serve Him. We can be faithful. We can treat others as they should be treated. But the reality is in doing that we're struggling against self. And what the Scripture tells us is that ability for us to do it, to serve the Lord, to be faithful to Him, does not come from me. It does not come from you, from within yourself. But rather it comes from Christ. For He says in John chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing. We need Him daily. We need Him constantly. For us in any way to serve the Lord, in any way to do right, to do good, it must be by His power that we do so. It must be by His strength that it is accomplished in us. He says again in verse 20, "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. When I would do good, there's still that draw, there's still that pull of the flesh against the very good that we're striving for." Do you find this law in yourself? Do you know what Paul is talking about there? Can you see it in you? That even when you're thinking about good and righteousness, you feel that breath of that old nature breathing on your neck. You can feel it there over your shoulder. Just thinking about the service of the Lord, and there it's that dead corpse strapped to you. This is a law, Paul says. This is a law that he finds. It's a reality for the believer. That we are always, in Romans 7, in our lives, just as we are also always in Romans 8 in our lives. Romans 7 here is a portrait of a holy man of God. Someone whom God has saved and given a holy nature to. Someone who has received the imputed righteousness of Christ and yet is constantly struggling against sin. Paul says there in verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." I love His Word. I love what God declares. I love what He says that I am to do. I love what He has given me in His Word. But, he says in verse 23, "But I see another law in my members. I see something further in me. Yes, I love what God has declared. I love His Word. I love His commands. I love what He's told me to do. Then I see me. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Two distinct natures in the believer, and those two natures hate one another. Hate one another. Let me tell you very clearly, if you do not have this war in you, then you do not have the two natures. And if you don't have two natures, you don't have Christ. The only thing you have is that dead, rotting corpse. The only freedom then is to be delivered from sin. Notice, hold your place here. Go back with me to Psalm chapter 119. Longest chapter in the Bible. I'm not going to read all of it. Not right now. But I want you to see a few verses. Psalm 119, verse number 81. David says, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes." He says in verse 92, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction." Verse 113, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." 131, "I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments." 143, he says, "Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights." 163, he says, "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." 165, he says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Verse 174, "I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight." We read here of David's devotion. We read of his spirituality. We read of his desire for the things of God, and the desire for the Word of God, and desire for the very commandments of God. How he loves them, he says. But then notice 176, the last verse. "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." That's what it is. That's the very thing that Paul is describing of us in chapter number 7. Oh, we love the Lord. We love what He's done for us. We love His Word. We love His commandments. We love the desire that is in us for Him, that we want to be faithful. We want to serve Him. It's the very desire of our hearts. And yet, oh, how we fail. Oh, how we come short. Why is it that I struggle so against this flesh? And it is the reality of the life of a child of God. You have an old nature in you, and it's not going away yet. And so Paul says in our text, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Who's going to take care of this dead corpse tied to me, Lord? I want to serve you. I want to be found faithful. I want you to be pleased with my life, and yet I'm constantly struggling against this flesh. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He tells us in verse 25, "I thank God. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." He's the one that delivers us. He's the answer to the problem. He's the answer to the struggle. He's the answer to the war that goes on in us. He is the deliverer. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 53. For this corruptible, Paul says, this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. And so he says in verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The reality is, as long as we are in this flesh, we're going to struggle against this flesh. But there's a day coming. It's what we're looking for. It's what we are awaiting. There's a day coming when the Lord's going to give us a new body. One made like unto His glorious body. That will have no sin in it. That will have no death in it. There'll be none of that corruption that is in us now. That will be gone. That will be taken away. It will be absolutely removed from us. No more to be found in us. And we'll be made new creatures, completely new through that new body that our Lord shall give to us. That old nature will be gone, removed. That struggle will be eliminated. And now will only be that righteous new nature that we are given in Christ Jesus. He is the one that has delivered us. It is He. And so, we see in chapter 8, and verse number 1, there is therefore now. This is what's so remarkable. As Paul is describing here in chapter 7, we are constantly in this struggle. It is the reality of our lives. I'm constantly fighting against this flesh. And yet even now, as I fight against this flesh every single day, as I struggle against the sinfulness in my heart and in my mind every single day, there is therefore now, right now, for me, because of the salvation I have in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you are in Christ, if you have that new nature in you right now, even though you're struggling still, even though this is a constant battle against the flesh, right now, you're made right and perfect and good before the throne of God. Not because of you. No. No, not because of you. But because Christ Jesus has died in your place, took your sins upon Himself, and became your substitute on that cross of Calvary, and given to you His righteousness. There is therefore now no condemnation. Do you know this struggle? Can you relate to these things that Paul is talking about here? Do you understand fully? Oh yes, Brother Paul, I know exactly what you're talking about. You realize then your need every single day. Oh Lord, I need You. Oh Lord, I need You. If you don't know that struggle, if you don't understand that weight, You need Christ. You need Him. You need to know assuredly that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, that He has delivered you from the body of this death. Repent. Believe on Christ Jesus this day. He is our Savior. He is our deliverer. He is the only one. Amen. Let's all stand. Brother Jonathan, would you bring us a song?